You're a podcast listener, and this is a podcast ad. Reach great listeners like yourself with podcast advertising from Lips and Ads. Choose from hundreds of top podcasts offering host endorsements, or run a reproduced ad like this one across thousands of shows to reach your target audience with Lips and Ads. Go to lipsandads.com now. That's LIBSYNads.com.
Welcome to the Old Dogs REI Network, where cash flow is king. Real estate investing, the means, so you can enjoy your retirement dreams. This is the show where we cut right to the chase. No sales pitch, no long monologues, just simple how-to real estate investing advice, so you can earn the passive income you need to enjoy your retirement today. And now, your host and chief old dog, Bill Manicero.
Hello? Old Dogs, and welcome to
Fun Facts Friday.
This is our once a week, only on Friday show, where we have special episodes not featuring guests, where I will share tricks, tips, terminology, and techniques that will help skyrocket you to real estate investing success. Today's topic is Don't Forget Principal Paydown. Hey, but before we get started, I just want to check on all you old dogs out there and you young pups. How are you guys doing? I'm hoping that you are seriously getting involved in real estate. I know I tend to be a little bit on the conservative side and kind of hold off, but I think maybe that's not such a good strategy all the time. I think sometimes you do need to get in there and get dirty, you know, just dig in. Because I think a lot of times, especially with real estate, is, well, we'll get into it more when I get into the topic here. But I just want to encourage you to rethink just kind of sitting on the sidelines if, you know, that's something that you may be doing. Well, let's look at the tip of the week here, speaking of which, the title is Just Do It, right? Well, I'm actually going to just do something a little different. I'm going to profile one lady that was on our program as a guest named Linda McKissick. And she and her husband are real estate investors. They also wrote a book called Hold, which is a very popular book. And a number of our guests, you know, mention it as one of their favorites. Just give you their story. You know, they were in the 80s. They had a restaurant and a nightclub. It was doing very well. They had a lot of people, a lot of clients coming in, very successful, but you know, as fast as the money came in, it went out just as fast. And then there was a turn in the 80s that a lot of people, especially in Texas, were hit pretty hard, and they lost, you know, they pretty much lost it. And they also, you know, were in debt about $60,000. It was a really tough time. And they thought, gee, you know, we got to pull ourselves up here. And they became real estate agents. And they started doing real well in real estate. You know, they're in the kind of the, they were in, initially in Denton, Texas, and moved to Dallas. And they started investing. And again, they were making lots of money. But the money was gone as quickly as they made it. And they said, look, we need some sort of forced savings account. So that's when they started thinking of other opportunities. They opened this account and started putting money into it. But then something would come up and they'd draw money out of it. So a lot of their friends were telling them, you know, you're in the real estate business. Why aren't you investing in real estate? And, you know, they heard that and they thought, well, that real estate is pretty much a forced savings account. So why don't we do that? And they started digging in to invest in real estate. And it's, you know, really, it's a neat story because they, you know, had a real conservative approach. They were going to buy, I don't know, I think it was like a house a year or something, really, you know, really, really just a slow beginning. And they started off, they developed a formula that emphasized long-term security. They'd put 20% down on each deal, and each property had to be at least 10% below market value. and it had to generate cash flow at a minimum of $200 a month after taxes, insurance, principal, and interest. And, of course, property management fees, too. And although they have revised that, that criteria, they, still were very, very much committed to sticking to the criteria. Well, it so happened that they did super well in their investments, and it grew much faster than one property a year. They just dug into it, and today they have, I believe, about 100 single-family homes, 16 vacation rentals, a commercial ranch, multifamily properties, and 6 commercial buildings. So they're doing very, very well. In fact, they were featured in the book by Gary Keller. They both also work for Keller Williams, the millionaire real estate investor. But they had one little statement that they made. In fact, I got this quote out of, because they were profiled in that book too. This quote that they said here was that Linda believes their biggest mistake was that they didn't start investing sooner. She said, end quote, "I wish we had learned more about how to exchange smaller properties for eightplexes and learn more about apartment units," she says. "If you're going to do this, you might as well do it big." But what she adds, "but what matters the most," she says, "is that they did it. They just dug in and, dug their heels in and just started buying properties. And they made a lot of mistakes along the way, but the ideal message that she wants to relay to people is that, that's the message I give to people who are always waiting for the right time to do something. She says, do it now. And I think there's something to that. I think you don't jump in blind, of course, and you need to know all of your facts, and you've got to have criteria like they talked about and really stick to it. But if you have the foundation there, you can make money in any market. And in fact, we're going to talk a little bit about that in our subject. Don't forget principal pay down. Now, as we say in every podcast episode of the Old Dogs REI Network, what do we say? Something is king, right? Cash flow is king. And what we mean is that the major focus of our investment efforts is generating cash flow. However, we don't always buy, or should I say, we don't ever buy just for cash flow. We buy with the idea of getting all the benefits of real estate. So we look for emerging markets where real estate prices are going up. And with that, and rents, of course, are going up as well, and that's going to increase cash flow. There's all kinds of benefits with it, not even talking about some of the great benefits and tax-wise and so forth. But, one of the key reasons we buy in emerging markets is that it's ensured that it's pretty good chance that your properties are going to go up in value. And when value goes up, equity goes up. When equity goes up, leverage opportunities increase. And your net worth at the same time increases as well. So I personally would rather invest in a property that has both benefits, not just buying exclusively for cash flow, but for cash flow and the opportunity to increase equity. However, with house prices skyrocketing as they are, it's understandable that many real estate investors are fixated on price appreciation over everything else. That's why a lot of flippers are doing really well right now. Both cash flow and equity are advantages of real estate, of course, but the price appreciation we are seeing today, I would say, is an aberration. I don't think that, it's going to stay like that forever. It can't. Even the market is up, even though inflation is high and other things are happening that are not positive in the environment. Cash flow should always be a standard for every property that you buy. Historically speaking, though, if we look at appreciation, house appreciation has been just slightly higher than inflation. And this is nice, especially when you add, the leverage factor in there. It's even nicer. Let's say 4% appreciation on a property with an 80% loan turns it into a 20% gain. While there's no way to predict when the housing market will cool off, correct, or even collapse, we can say for certain that the 10 to 15% annual price appreciation rates will have to, you know, they can't last forever. So as far as cash flow goes, with homes in particular, you need to make sure you buy right, because you may make, you know, 200, let's say, a month in cash flow, like Linda's goal was, but then you have a bad move out and a turnaround, and you could lose all of that in profit. I mean, if you take a $200 a month cash flow, and that's, you know, per year, that's $2,400. I've had turnarounds that were more expensive than that, and that basically would wipe out a whole cash flow. So you really, really have to be smart. Capital improvements such as replacing the roof, HVAC, siding, etc., can also eat up your cash flow if you don't have a good cash reserve fund to cover those things. And that should be a part of your monthly expenses, that you start off with a reserve, and then you're adding to it every month. So if you do have to cut into it, you're going to keep replenishing it. That's the idea. So don't feel disheartened. I'm still convinced that real estate is still the best way for someone of modest means to become independently wealthy. But it's through all the advantages of real estate that people gain wealth, not just appreciation, and not just cash flow. This includes things such as tax advantages you get from depreciation, mortgage interest, other deductions, as well as the ability to use leverage while also being able to buy undervalued properties, because real estate is an efficient market. But one advantage that gets way too little attention is principal pay down. Now, as a good friend and fellow apartment syndicator, Joe Fairless, emphasizes, there are three immutable laws of real estate investing. Number one, buy for cash flow. And we emphasize that a lot here at the Old Dogs REI Network. Do not speculate on assets that will eat up cash. Number two, secure long-term low leverage debt, lower interest rate than private money plus principal pay down. Number three, have adequate cash reserves. And I mentioned that earlier. It's very important that you have cash reserves for those unexpected turns. It may be a turnaround. It may be, you know, a broken air conditioning system, whatever it may be. You should have the cash there so that you don't have to, you know, draw into your cash flow. The first law isn't so much about cash flow that you become rich. It's mostly that making sure the asset is sustainable, that it doesn't eat away your cash reserves, which is we talked about in law three, and you can sell it at its top price in the market. But when you add law one to law two, buy for cash flow and secure long-term low leverage debt, okay, you get cash flow plus principal pay down, and your return is substantially more than just the cash coming in. This is because each bank loan is amortized. You pay both interest and principal each month, and each payment going to the principal reduces the amount of debt attached to the property. I know all you guys know this, especially if you're a homeowner. While this doesn't come back to you as hard cash, it does increase your net worth. And any real estate investor knows that a key number is your net worth in terms of getting loans or even increasing the types of properties that you're purchasing, moving up in size and so forth. To illustrate this point, I performed a simple calculation to show what the internal rate of return would be with just principal pay down. Okay, so the IRR, which you know is internal rate of return, okay, is superior to simple return on investment or ROI when it accounts for when money is received. You know, earlier, of course, is better. I'm going to use IRR in this example. Of course, this is not actually a return since there's no cash here, just equity. But the point should suffice. Here are the assumptions. Okay. Purchase price of the property, let's say $100,000. Down payment, $20,000. The loan, $80,000. Amortization, 20 years. Okay. No net cash flow, no appreciation. Of course, those latter assumptions are ridiculous, but we're going to do the calculation without cash flow or appreciation. Of course, you shouldn't even buy anything if it doesn't cash flow. You know that. Also, during the last 20 years, only one of the 500 biggest cities in the United States has failed to appreciate in value. Can you believe that? Only one city, and that was Flint, Michigan, and it was during the 2008 housing crisis. So homes are always going to appreciate, always. Now, yeah, they can go down in value, but they're always going to appreciate. They're always going to come back. Even still, if you were simply to hold a property with a 20-year loan for the entire 20 years with no cash flow, okay, the rent paying only for all property-related expenses and no appreciation, the rate of return is not that bad. So using the CCIM financial calculator, and I'll have a link to it in the show notes if you ever want to use this calculator, it basically comes up with 7.8%. You'll end up still generating, and this is IRR, 7.18%. Now, that may not sound incredible, but it's not bad at all. Indeed, as NerdWallet reports, the average return in the stock market is just 10%. So the stock market barely beats principal pay down with none of the other real estate related advantages, right? Remember, we did this just bare bones. Now, there are other caveats here. For one, early in the loan, most of the payment goes to interest then. We know that, right? They get all their interest up front, the mortgage people. And then as you get deeper in the loan, it switches and most of each payment goes to the principal. And I have a graph again in the show notes that'll illustrate this real well. As you see, the longer you have the loan, the more amount goes to principal. Therefore, if you pay off the loan early, the IRR will be less. In addition, if the loan is a 30-year amortization, as many are, it may even be even less than the 20-year, although the cash flow may be higher. But remember, this is a 7.18% return with no cash flow, no appreciation, no tax benefits, and settling to buy at market prices. Now, add those other benefits in, and the rate goes up significantly. If you can find a good off-market property, below market value, a good interest rate, and buy it in the right market, okay, which hopefully would be an emerging market, you will see significant return. I mean, significant return. I'm sure it would be a lot more. It could even be double that. But, you know, we just took the basics. So if you can find a good off-market property, below market deal, okay, a good interest rate and buy in the right market. Okay, I'm talking about an emerging market where you're going to see some immediate appreciation going on and increased rents. You are going to see a significant return. Now, the power of principal pay down is another reason why maybe it's not such a good idea to sit on the sidelines and wait for correction. Just because you think rightly or wrongly that the market is near its peak. Now, sure, it's important to be careful in a hot market like this one. And sure, I personally tend to lean more toward the conservative approach, which in today's market means not to buy at all. But I think there are advantages, and I maybe have to rethink my approach here. There may be many advantages to real estate outside of appreciation, principal pay down being one of them, and the least discussed. That maybe, you know, and again, I'm talking to myself here, you shouldn't just twiddle your thumbs and wait for a crash that may or may not come at anytime soon here. So, you know, in other words, I think there's some good opportunities here. And I think at the same time, you can also take a longer term approach. I mean, investors like Warren Buffett, Peter Lynch, Peter Thiel, Jacob Astor, and Benjamin Graham go by the philosophy, time in the market beats timing the market. I'll say that again. Time in the market beats timing the market. In other words, especially with real estate, the longer you wait, okay, the more you're going to see returns and things happen. Even in the worst areas, you can see appreciation happen. And it may just take longer. But the idea is, and hopefully you don't buy in a depressed area or an area that's declining, but real estate is always going to have value. That's not going to change. And I think that focusing on that and that there are advantages, I think is kind of outweighs the let's wait and see attitude. But hey, it's up to each of you individually to figure that out for yourself. And I think that there are still some great deals. I'm hearing about them all the time. I see people buying, especially in the multifamily space, tons of great deals going on. So, maybe it's time to roll up your sleeves and say, okay, let's get that first property if you haven't purchased it yet. So when it comes to principal and equity and all of those things that come, I believe, as a bonus when you're trying to achieve cash flow, I can speak firsthand. I know you guys know about the 22-unit apartment that I purchased in Indianapolis. It's been an adventure property for sure. But I bought it pretty naively. I didn't really know a lot about multifamily. I didn't know a lot about Indianapolis. I did my research as best I could at that time with very little experience. And I kind of dragged my feet a little bit. And then I just finally just, boom, the opportunity was there. And I just took it. And I stepped in and I said, okay, I'm going for this. And ended up purchasing this property in 2016 for $350,000. And its rents at that time were probably in the $8,000 area. If it was fully occupied, it would have been around $9,000 per month. So I just dug in and tried to make it a good place to live. I dealt with all kinds of things. I dealt with, prostitutes and drug dealers and thieves and all kind. And that was just in my apartment alone. Okay. it was in the neighborhood too, but it was brutal. And you're trying to get that place up and move it from sort of a, almost like a motel that you would see downtown or something, where they, rent by the day. We plugged in, we did all kinds of upgrades and things to make it a nice place to live. And bit by bit, we evicted the people that were really causing trouble. We had our share, and we would upgrade it and make it look nicer. And each unit, after they'd leave, we'd upgrade. And over a 5-year period, we took that rent, which is probably in the 7 or 8s, moved it up to about 15,000. We added some Airbnbs, which even brought an additional income. And then the value of the property, there's an identical property, 22 units, about the same age as ours, is selling for about $1.3 million down the street. And my realtor basically said, yeah, I would say that, a million minimum on this home. So that's almost a 300% increase in 5 years. And I didn't even look at the appreciation or even think that would be a major factor there. We bought thinking, again, that we were in, an area that was going to be improving and getting better and so forth. But we still have our issues and we still have, crime a little higher than it should be. And it's not the greatest area. It's not the hood, but it's an okay area, but maybe C minus at times. But really amazed at what could happen with just one piece of real estate, okay, and just being patient. And, I was working toward the goal of making it a nice livable place where people would enjoy living and being there. And in that process, we not only improved it and were able to increase our rents, but we were also able, we got greater, sort of a better tenant coming in, but also at the same time, we had this appreciation that was kind of going on behind the scenes that I'm not even thinking about. And, you know, now it, all of a sudden it's, wow, this is great. And that's just one property, you know, amongst others that I really believe that if, you know, if you really jump in, you know, and I guess I'd be a poster child here for the person that jumps in without knowing what the heck he's doing. Even then you can do amazing things with real estate, or should I say real estate can do amazing things with us. So it's just my personal experience with the idea of, you know, just getting in there and doing it. And don't ignore the equity. Don't ignore the principle. Well, that's the show for today. Please note, old dog listeners, everything presented here today, including the links, and there will be some good ones today, can be accessed in our detailed show notes in the Old Dogs website at olddogsreinetwork.com/blog. And you're going to look for the episode entitled, Don't Forget Principal Paydown. Well, that's the show for today. Remember, cash flow is king. And real estate investing the means. Until next time, keep moving forward and may God bless.
Thank you very much for visiting the Old Dogs REI Network. We would greatly appreciate if you would stop by iTunes and let us know what you think of the show. We would love if you could subscribe to the podcast, give us a 5-star rating, and write a review. The more ratings and reviews we receive, the more visible the podcast will be to others. Thank you.